we have a chapter in our Bibles in verse 35 to 41 is a literal storm. It's in the storms of life where we really find out and discover where our faith is. And are we strong or not? You know, in Mark chapter 4, the way the Bible unfolds it, Mark 4 is a time of teaching. The Lord Jesus is teaching in parables. And it talks about even in dealing with his disciples separately from that. You can see it as you work through the chapter, and you can do this on your own time, maybe. But see it as it goes on in through the chapter. It says, "And he said." And then it teaches something, and it says again, "And he said." It divides it up into three or four different separate teaching times, we could say, or lessons that he is giving. And we know how, so I was talking with the guys, Henry in particular, about school, starting school, and, you know, dreadful thing. Have you started school yet? Yeah, you know. And we know how school is, right, where you have instruction time, and then you have to, later in life, after you're done with the schoolwork, you start to apply what you've learned. And that kind of comes in increments, you know. And I don't want to get into all the details. We understand the whole dynamic of that, right? And that's how it is. We learn, and then we take what we've learned, and we start using what we've learned and apply it and use it in specific ways. Well, growing and living the Christian life is no different than that. We learn and we grow. We come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We accept Him. He saves our souls. We're born again. We read about that in John chapter 3 this morning. And then it begins our walk with the Lord. And we learn. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 tells us that. That's what we're instructed to do. It's not just that we're saved. We grow in Christ. We learn of Christ. We learn His Word. And we apply the things that we've learned. But just as it is in school, when it comes test time, that's when we find out if we've really learned or not. Are you with me? Boy, when it comes time to sit down, and we had a teacher when I was in Bible college, Bob Dalton. He was the hardest teacher there is known to man, okay? This guy was incredible. And he would always start his class with take out a half sheet of paper. I could still cause his chills down my spine. To have somebody to say that. Take out a half a sheet of paper. And he would quiz us on what we had been assigned for reading. And he was so random. I was like a really, like one of those guys, I'm an overachiever, they call me. And if I didn't get an A, I failed. You know what I mean? Are you with me? Anybody else? No, never mind. And but I am like that, okay? I just, if I'm going into something, I want to do my absolute best. I want to get 100 on that test every time. Well, that was the only class, one class. Yes, I'm still getting over it. This was years ago. Bible, archaeology, and geography. All, you know, names, dates, facts, figures. It's crazy stuff. I studied more for that class than any class I had in Bible college, and I didn't get an A. I got a B+. And it's not all right. And it was because of Bob Dalton. And they got a half sheet of paper. But what it was, what I'm saying is, we would learn, we would read, he would instruct. And all of the teachers would like this. He's just the thorn in my flesh. The Lord giveth me to buffet me. Anyway, and he was the one. When you sat down to take a test, that was where you found out. Did you learn what was taught? Did you learn what you read? And it's the same when it comes to our walk by faith in the Christian life. It is when the tests come that we find out, have we learned what God has said? Are we applying what God has said? It's the storms of life where we find that out. And here in Mark chapter 4, the Lord has instructed his disciples. And he is now going to give them a test. And I believe that we can learn as we study this time of real and literal storm, we can apply these things to our walk with him as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning again for your eternal word. We thank you that you have given it to us so that we might know you, that we might be instructed by you. And I pray that that would be the case again this morning. Our hearts would be tender and open to the truth of what we can learn in the storms of life. They're real. And we know that. And I pray that we'll learn lessons this morning that will help us, Lord, as we face storms. Maybe some today are. But certainly we understand that we will. You've promised that. And may your word help us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, and the same day. So that does back it up, just as I said, in the context of the chapter, to the instruction that Jesus has just given. As you read through the chapter, the lessons that he teaches, it says the same day. Okay? This is what he's teaching. Now he's going to test them. The same day. Doesn't always happen that way, does it? Sometimes it's lessons that we'll learn from way in the past, and then the test comes and you say, oh yeah, I remember. And it's a bit of time between the time we learn it to the time we're tested in it. Here it's the same day. And it says, when the even was come, he saith unto them, this is what he says, read it with me, okay? The red letters, if you have a red letter edition, read it with me. Mark 4, verse 35, in the red letters, what's he say unto them? He says, let us pass over unto the other side. Now that's important. Because that's what Jesus said. That's what he told them they were going to do. Us. He's with them. Okay? And they're getting into the boat, and he says, we're going, let us pass over to the other, unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, I like this, I underline it in my Bibles, it doesn't really have a lot to do with what we're mentioning here today, but it says, they took him even as he was in the ship. I like that. That's how we take Jesus, even as he was. You know what? He takes us as we are, too. But he doesn't leave us the same. He changes us. But they took him even as he was. What would he have been like? Well, he just taught all day. The even was come. And as one thing we learn from this passage, Jesus in his humanity can relate to us. Because it says, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, verse 37, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And look what verse 38 says. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Asleep on a pillow. Jesus was tired. They took him even as he was. Do you ever get tired? Sure, sure. I get tired. I am tired. Well, maybe not right now, but you know what I mean. I'm tired of going 100 miles an hour for the last month and a half. It's time to stop. I still have firewood to get in. I still have other projects around the house before winter sets in. You're with me, aren't you? Sure, we're all in the same boat. And we see that Jesus can relate. I'm so thankful that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I know that he can relate to you and me because he was tired and I get tired. And it seems like when we're tired, that's when the storms come, that's when the trials come, that's when the devil wants to come along and test us a little as well. We'll get into that later on. But see here, as I read, I want to get to my point. If I don't start getting to my points, we'll never get through them, and my points are important, right? No. But the number one, I see what I call the power of the storm. The power of the storm. We've read the verses 35 to 37 in particular is where I get this point. And the same day, a long, busy day of ministry, teaching, confronting, and it's really a lot of times in the narrative of the Bible, you don't always see the days pass. Here it is very clearly says, I've pointed out. But the power of the storm is seen in that the storm is sudden. It's sudden. It's surprising, we could say, at least from our perspective. Do you ever get surprised by stuff? Well, sure we do. We didn't see it coming. Now, in this particular instance, it's kind of interesting. You may have heard some of this before, but they're on the Sea of Galilee, and it was kind of commonplace for storms such as this to spring up. The Sea of Galilee, I've not been to Israel. It's one of the things I'd like to do, not necessarily a missions trip, but just to go to Israel and before we reign and rule with Jesus from there. But that's another story. But I'd like to go there someday and see how all this plays out. They say it's kind of a bowl, and the storms do rise up over the hills and settle in and come in suddenly, as we see it take place right here. But I think the analogy of it or the illustration of it is really pointed out when in verse 37 where it says there arose a great storm of wind. Because it says that word arose is in particular because it is kind of interesting to me because it means that it came to pass. It came to pass is how it's translated other places in our Bible. In other words, it was a quick thing. They didn't enter into that boat, and this is my point. They didn't get into the boat, the disciples anyway. Jesus may have had some knowledge in his you know, because he's God, understood all that it was coming. They didn't, and we don't. We don't know when the storms are coming. And here he did. They didn't, is my point, if I could say it. They entered that boat, verse 36. They took him as he was. There were other little ships. They were simply doing what they were told to do, not knowing that the storm was coming. So when it arose, when it came to pass, they did not expect a storm. And how many times when we are going about our business and we are busy and we have routines to life, we enter into our day and we have no idea that a storm is coming. Now that can be literal up here in the mountains, I'm sure, or it can be also the picture of the storms and spiritual storms that we face. You know what I mean by this. It's 1 minute everything seems fine, and then bang, you get a phone call. You get in an accident. You find out somehow about some tragedy, and our life is turned upside down. You ever had your life turned upside down? Well, sure you have. I have. And that's what I'm talking about. We didn't see it coming. We didn't know that there was a storm on the horizon. And all of a sudden, there it is. It's upon us. And we can relate. And I think that I heard one preacher say about storms where all of us are in one of three places. We're either in a storm, just coming out of a storm, or getting ready to enter into one. Like tomorrow morning, this afternoon, we may leave this church this afternoon, not tomorrow morning. Yeah. Anyway, leave this church this afternoon and not make it out of the driveway. We may never leave this church. You understand what I mean? It can happen that fast. It's a sudden thing. And the Bible tells us it's going to be part of our life. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In the world, Jesus says this, in the world, ye might have tribulation. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, ye shall have tribulation. And he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know, Jesus said, it's going to happen. We know Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. And boy, it seems that some have more struggles than others. Lord knows all about that. Not give us more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that. But he says, 1 Thessalonians 3:4 says, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. We are going to suffer. It's part of our lives. And just because we come to know Jesus as our Savior doesn't end all trouble. We still have life to deal with. But so thankful God is with us through it all. They come into the boat. He tells them, let us go onto the other side. And then an unexpected, sudden storm. And that gives power to the storm, doesn't it? It's the types of things where it kind of takes us off our feet. Sets us back a little bit. I remember my brother played football for Lawrence High School years ago. And my brother's a big guy. He's bigger than me. Well, we're closer now than we were then. He was the big football player. And he said one time in his time, he was all state and all that stuff in his position years ago. This was back in the dark ages, you know. They hardly wore helmets, I think. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But one time, he says, this guy, my brother went to go through him, and he didn't, my brother bounced off of him. Now, my brother in high school, my brother's 6'2", and he was bench pressing 395 pounds as a senior in high school. He's a big guy. And he bounced off a guy. He says, I didn't expect that. It took him off his feet. You know, the old bells and whistles thing, you know? He says, but the next time, that didn't happen. But storms are the same way, are they not? Sometimes they take us off our feet, but then we get up and we go again. But it's the suddenness of the storm, the unexpected aspect of it, that does exactly, gives it power, gives it strength in our life. The power of the storm is also, as we know from the passage, verse 37 in particular, where it is severe. It's severe. And he says there was a great storm of wind. Look at the descriptive words here, the adjectives, right? It says the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, in a boat with more water coming in than you can bail out is a bad thing, don't you think? I'm not the brightest bulb in the place here, but I'm thinking if there's more water in the boat than you can bail out of the boat, you're in trouble. Do you agree? All right, we agree on that. We might not agree on a lot of things, but we agree on that. Okay, that's a bad day, okay? And there are the majority of these men, we know from the disciples, their background is what? They're fishermen. So isn't their first day in a boat? And it's a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship. Now it was full. It was full of water. And these men are not rookies, we could say. Now we can relate in some ways because we all get sick. We all battle with those physical types of things. But we could say, well, maybe not to the degree of this particular thing that someone is facing or I'm facing. I've been sick before, but not this sick. You see what I mean? These guys have been in a boat, but maybe not this bad. They've never had it full of water. You following me? Okay, so it's I've had particular surgery or different things done like that, but not that thing. You see what I'm saying? Talking to Jim before the service about some of the cancer battles and things like that. I've not had that yet, you see. So it's different. We all have different things we understand and experiences that we go through, but then the worst thing hits us, you see. And it's all that. We've had financial stress. Okay, it's not just physical things. It's maybe financial matters. We struggle, and maybe we've had. We could relate some of those things. But then we get to that this particular thing where there doesn't seem to be a way out of it. Are you starting to connect, perhaps, how this passage applies to life? It does. The storms are real. And they do catch us by surprise. They're sudden. But also, in this particular instance, as some of the things that we face, that sometimes the severity of them gives them even more power or influence into our life, do they not? Sure they do. And let me just remind us all right here, there is no storm so severe that God cannot bring calm to it. That's another lesson that we'll see here in this passage. And they fill me with anxiety and fear and may cause us much, much grief and pain, but God is able. God is able. Remember, and I don't know, sometimes if I repeat illustrations, please forgive me. Actually, don't even tell me that I did it, but I was in Orono at a church last week, and not preaching this message, of course, but some of the illustrations may find their way from church to church, I don't know. But anyway, I was one summer back, this type of message always brings us this summer. We had the summer of a lifetime. It was back when our son Justin, who is 24 now, right? I lose track too. And that's why it's good to have my wife. She remembers. Our son Justin is 25, so he was just a baby. Yeah, I think maybe even under one. Help me out. Yeah, she knows the summer I'm going to refer to. I worked at Height Chevrolet in Skowhegan at the time, and they were tearing down the old garage. And that some of you that have been around here your whole life, you might remember the old garage at Heights was just this little one-level old carriage house, actually, and they used it as a car. It was really old. And they tore it down. So I would go to work, and they would actually, the parts room and the showroom are the same, but the garage was gone. And they were compacting that garage down into rubble to build a new garage on, okay? So I'd go to work, and I'd be like, you know, talking, you know, like this. It was crazy days. At our house, we tore the roof off. one side. We had a convertible house for a week or so. That was great. We were sleeping in a camper, remodeling the entire upstairs of our house. And it was a big project. It was also at our church at that time, it was when I just started being Sunday school superintendent, which made us in charge of Vacation Bible School. And it was kind of this was years ago. Like I said, Justin's 25, now he's a baby. So it was 25 years ago, okay? And we were in the middle of all of that activity going on. I had a real problem with anxiety at the time. I actually lost, during that a couple week period, I lost, I think it was like 16 or 18 pounds because of nerves. I was struggling with it at that time. It's when I really had to learn to be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer, I can't remember it now, but I did then. I had to start learning verses, I did better then, about anxiety and care and worry, because there was real battleground in my life, okay? Anyway, during all that time, we were working, putting our house back together, things were coming together. We got a phone call, actually Justin, our son, our baby son, broke his arm because one of his oldest, Stephanie, anybody here know Stephanie, my daughter? Yeah. Turned and flipped him over and got his arm positioned wrong, broke his arm. He was a baby. That was crazy. My son, he'd go to suck his thumb, and he'd go, had his arm in a cast, he'd go, and miss. It was really funny. But now he's ambidextrous, like he can use both hands for stuff, which I think plays back to that. Anyway, I get off on these tracks. Anyway, it was a summer where the storms of life were sudden, and they were severe. It didn't end there. We got a phone call after all of this was going on. My son with a broken arm, you know, construction at work, construction at home, sleeping in a camper. We get a phone call. My brother's wife got killed in a car accident out in Minnesota. They were from Oregon. She was in Minnesota visiting her family. She was killed. You talk about upside down. That's what I'm talking about. You see, we all have trials. We all have them. The Bible says we're going to. But there are times. And we say, and we know, we have faith, we trust the Lord, we believe His Word, we're learning of Him. And that's all great. But there are times when the storms are so severe that it does knock us back and take us off our feet. And the power of the storm is sudden and it's severe. But then we start to question its source. Where is this thing? Why is this thing happening? And that's what we see here. Who sent the storm? And better yet, who is behind our storm? It may be a natural occurrence, as is possible here in this passage. In other words, the Sea of Galilee, as we said, is prone to that. And maybe it's such as is common to man, right? It's just something that we all face. It's a natural thing. You know why people get sick? Because people get sick. That's what I mean. It's a natural thing where it just happens. And it happens to all of us. Maybe God sent this storm to test their faith. That's definitely a definite possibility. And to teach them dependence and to trust Jesus to build their faith. That's the outcome of the whole passage, if we ever get there. Maybe we could say in our mind, Satan sent it. But you know, we learned from the book of Job that whatever Satan does, he's only allowed to do. So ultimately, it's the sovereignty of God that is in control, which is His power and His control. That's what sovereignty is. And we know that, yes, Satan would seek to destroy Jesus and His disciples if he could have. And he only seeks to destroy and defeat us because Satan is a defeated foe. He knows he's defeated, so he wants to destroy you and me. And yes, he may not have claim to our souls, but he certainly wants to ruin our testimony and to make us ineffective for Jesus Christ. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Is that the source of this storm? Well, I don't know. All I know is it happens. And nothing happens without God knowing about it. the severity of the storm, the suddenness of the storm, the source of the storm. It's all wrapped up in the power of the storm. The second thing we see, yes, number two, stay with me, is the problems in the storm. Verse 35 and 38 in particular, I'm breaking it up a little bit. Because the storm itself, we would say from our perspective, is a problem. But that's not my point. From our perspective, they're not easy, they're not enjoyable, and storms never are. But the problems and the real problems, we would say, are revealed in the hearts and the faith or lack of faith in the men. And that's the problems that I have. And perhaps you do or will as well. And number one, in the problems in the storm, they doubted the assurance of his command. I said in verse 35, what Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side, is the command that he gives. And I think when Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side, I think Jesus meant all of them. Don't you? Let us, isn't that Jesus included? And when he's speaking to them, wouldn't you think it's all inclusive? I don't know. I'm using logic here, right? So it seems that he meant what he said. He said what he meant. And it was reasonable that all of them would pass over to the other side. Isn't that reasonable? Sure. I'm drawing a point here. I hope that you'll see it. But because this is what I mean. When Jesus says, let us pass over unto the other side, I believe that every single one of those disciples would have believed what he said. They get in the boat and they say, all right, let's go. And they start going over. But in the middle of that lake, or the Sea of Galilee, it's the Lake of Gennesaret, it's the same thing. It's there in the middle of it, when that storm comes, what Jesus said back on the shore that seemed so appropriate and right and so fitting, let us pass over this, sure, let's go to the other side. But when the storm hit, they forgot what he said, right? And it didn't count anymore, so to speak. It seemed so nice when the water was calm, but when the in the middle of the lake with a boat full of water, that's when they weren't so sure, and that's when I'm not so sure. When the trials hit, there's hundreds, thousands of promises in our Bibles. And we know them and perhaps can quote many. But in the middle of the storm, I have doubted God. Now that's an admission and being transparent here this morning, isn't it? And I trust that you would be as well. That's just being honest. And that for me is a problem. It reveals a problem in my faith. And that's the problem in these men. They doubted the assurance of his command. They also, number two, in the problems in the storm, they doubted the affection of his care. In other words, they doubted his love. It says in verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, look what they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a statement that is. It reveals a lot, doesn't it? It reveals the weaknesses in their faith, for sure. But it does, I do like it in this way. At least they're saying out loud what I have perhaps thought in my heart, God, don't you care? God, don't you care? Don't you care about our family? Don't you care about my needs? Don't you care? God, where have you gone? I thought that in this point, I tell you, we need to be reminded not to doubt God's love for us. The devil would want us to forget that God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God is love. It's the very nature, it's his very character. It doesn't ever change. and doesn't change in the times and the storms of life either. And how often we let situations rob us of learning just how much God does love us. The song says, I wrote it in my notes here, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. He knows all about it. In the middle of the tempest is not the time to, or the place to question God's care, but it's time to claim his promise. And they doubted the assurance of his command, and they doubted the affection of his care. And they doubted, thirdly, in this problems in the storm, the ability of his control. Verse 38, where they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They call him Master. Master. He's their teacher. He's their rabbi. But I could say, in the literal sense of the word as well, Master was one that was their watching over them and the one caring for them. But he's not their master now. The storm is mastering them. The storm is the one in control, not their God. We perish, they say, when Jesus said, let us pass over. And God promises to you and I that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've doubted that. God, Christ says his grace is sufficient. But I haven't relied on his grace. We doubt the ability of his control. There's been times in the financial realm of things, and anytime the preacher starts talking about finances, you kind of hold on to your wallet and wonder. But I just say this because you've been there and I've been there, where times have been tough. We've had times in our family, you know, some of you know our testimony, and I didn't go to Bible college. I was 36, and we had five kids, and I gave up my job and sold our house and moved to North Carolina to go to Bible college. And I went to school the first year I was there as I just went to school. I didn't have a job. And it was during that time, Stephanie, our kids would roll their eyes if I say this, but that was during that time we had just purchased our house from Tim Kelly. Some of you know the Kellys down in Lewiston, but we bought their house, actually, in North Carolina. It was the day we signed our house, actually, bought it from him. We bought the house from the proceeds from sale of our house in Maine, so we were debt-free. It was a wonderful thing. Being in Bible college, serving the Lord, debt-free. Then we got home, and our daughter, Stephanie, was complaining of a pain in her side. She was a pain in our side most of the time, but she was complaining about a pain in her side. And we said, oh, you know what, just as good parents, loving parents always do, oh, you'll be all right. And that's what we did. So it was, as time went on, she wasn't all right. We kind of knew that already, but this was a different. And she had this pain in her side, you know, and it, oh, man, Mom, Dad, it's like, oh, it's getting worse. She starts whining and complaining. Oh, come on. Well, you know, again, loving parents. We took her to the hospital. All right, let's go. It's a waste of time, but let's take her. You know, all right, she keeps complaining. Well, come to find out, that pain was in her right side, down low in her abdomen. She was doubled over, and it was her appendix, all right? And yeah, that's right. They had to take them out. Well, they took out her appendix, and they gave us a bill for about $16,000. And we're like, oh my goodness, I was in Bible college. I just gave, like, the Kellys all of my money to buy their house. And we were debt-free for about 5 hours. And I didn't have a job, I didn't have insurance. And I looked at that bill going, what in the world is this? And you know, it is during those times where you say, God, don't you care? Don't you know that I have given up my job? I have moved my family all the way down here to the foreign country of North Carolina, where they all talk funny. It is hot. There's all kinds of bugs everywhere. And I have used up all my money to buy the house I thought you wanted me to have. And now this? God, don't you care? And we doubt the ability of his control. Somehow he's lost control. He's taken his hands off the wheels, and I'm on my own here. No. No. We saw God do miracle after miracle after miracle. And we eventually, you know, through payment plans and the grace of God and God's provision, we paid those bills, stayed in Bible college, graduated, and all of it. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And the power of the storm, we need not, these problems need not arise. And that brings us down to the lessons, what I call the principles of the storm. It's just the lessons that we learn, okay? This is where we say, all right, this is where the test is. Get out a half sheet of paper. Because there's purposes and there's things that we can learn in all of the storms. And I could tell you, I mean, I could literally, you know me now, I'm very long-winded. And I could tell you stories all day, about lessons learned in storms. That's where you find out where your faith is. You see, when the financial things, when you're hit the bottom, like we've hit bottom before, because just where God put us, if we lose and we doubt God at those times, then our faith was not in God. Our faith was in the bank account. You see? That's what it is. Our faith may be when I am weak and I am sick, you say, well, God doesn't care or God has left me. Our faith was not in God. Our faith was in my physical strength, in my ability, and not God's. You see, we learn and we find out where our faith really is in the storms. Because we can talk the talk and we can know the verses, but what is really true comes out when all of that other stuff is stripped away and we're left with only God. Then our faith needs to be in Him, like it needs to be all the time. The principles of the storm. And we see, number one, that peace is available. Verse 39, he arose, he had been asleep, now they woke him up. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. That's, I love the narrative of the Bible because so many times when there's fear in the heart of a person, that's the first thing the angel says. Fear not, peace be still in this case. That's what we need to hear, isn't it? God knows what we need. And right then, those disciples are terrified. They think they're going to die. And he says, peace. Peace. He says, enough of this. He rebuked the wind, the driving force that was stirring up the sea and the force of the storm. That's the root problem. The waves were driven by the wind. The water was in the boat from the waves beating into the ship, and the men feared. Peace is what they needed. Stop the storm. That's what Jesus did. And it all stopped in a moment. And today, when our heart and life is in turmoil, a storm is raging, when we face those times, can I assure us all, peace is available from the Prince of Peace, the one who gives peace, and that's Jesus Christ. You need to come back to Him. You need to know Him. Philippians 4:7 tells us, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's where it is. It's found in Him. You see, when we don't have peace, it's because we're not connected directly to Him like we ought to be. And that's what we need. Peace, be still, we need Him. That's one principle. Peace is available. Number two, principle is it proves my weakness. I've already shared some of that, but I think this is in my points and in my outline, so we'll say it again. Their weakness was not an inability to sail or bail. They could do that. They could sail the boat. They could bail the boat. They could row the boat. Row, row, row your boat. It wasn't gently down the stream. They could do all of it, but they couldn't overcome this one. It proves our weakness. That's what the storms do. And we don't like to admit we're weak. Right, guys? Right, guys? Yeah. Yeah. I say it to the guys because we're most prone to that, okay? That's all. After all, we're men. We're strong. especially when we're young. My brother-in-law says 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Yeah. And then God has a way of stripping that all away at times. And we say, you know what? It proves my weakness. Not as strong as I thought it was. And not quite as able. And our greatest weakness is the same as these men. We have no faith. Or our faith is in the wrong things. Principle number 3, the power of God is amazing. What was impossible for the men was trivial, posed no problem at all to Jesus Christ. That's so true, isn't it? Oh, I mean, it seemed like they're dying. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Peace be still, it's all done. Sit, calm down, guys. God's got this. You know, there's been, again, many, many things I could share that's been exactly the case. I get all worked up. You probably could tell that. But then God has to come along and says, will you calm down, young fella? I got this. And he is faithful every time. His power is amazing. It's amazing. Matthew 19:26 says, with men this is impossible, but with God, some things are possible. No, all things are possible. Luke 18:27 reiterates that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The power of God is amazing. And number 4, a principle to learn, his promises are true. His promises are true. You go through your Bible and you learn the promises of God. You know what? When it comes time for the storm, his promises are still true. Let us pass over unto the other side. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. You see it? That's what he said. And it came true. And you know, when we come up to our storms in life, say, I don't get it. How can this work out for good? You know what? When we get over there, and perhaps we won't understand it all till we meet Jesus face to face, but we'll say, you know what? He was right all along. He was right all along. His promises are true. Our God is faithful. God does provide. He does give grace. And he allows us to face these things so we might know it and we might know him better. You may find yourself in the middle of a storm. And so you understand perhaps the power of the storm. If you don't today, I can guarantee you, you will. God's going to bring these things to our life. We don't really need much help with that point, the power of the storm, because we get that. We understand that. We've been there, done it. Got the t-shirt, right? But we all face sudden, severe storms from a variety of sources. But don't let the power and problems of the storms keep us from learning the principles that we see here in this passage. Peace is available. I am weak, and it proves it. The power of God is amazing, and God's promises are always, always true. May God help us in the storms to know him or to know him better. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for this passage, and I thank you how it's helped me, and trust that it's helped these folks here today. Dear God, I pray that for each one here, Lord, you know the hearts and you know the needs. Is there perhaps someone there that is here this morning that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? The Lord needs to put their trust in you for their soul, for eternity, be forgiven of their sin, get off the broad road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow road that leads to life. And that life is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would seek you and that you would convict their hearts of their need of you. And Lord, today there's also some here that, many here perhaps, that are Christians, are saved and walking with you and fellowship with you, walking in the light as you are in the light. But Lord, they're struggling in their walk. And they need help. They needed this message. And they've maybe even seen and understand their weakness, perhaps in a new light, or understand it better. And I pray that, Lord, that we would learn these principles, the lessons that this passage do teach us, Lord. And help us, Lord, not to doubt. Not to doubt you, not to doubt your love and the other things, parts of your character that are always true. And help us, Lord, to focus so much on you and on the promises of your word and, Lord, the changelessness of all of that. And, Lord, I pray that this message this morning has been a help. You'd use it in our lives, in our walk, in the days ahead, in our struggles, Lord. I pray that our focus would remain on you each and every day. Help us, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.